Begin the current off Masech the Baba Basra Daf Kuf Lamed Hei. Begin on the top line of the Amud. The Gemara continues with an incident relating to the discussion of the previous Daf. That is, we had in our Mishnah, Halacha, relating to the laws of our Perek of Yeshnaichlin regarding the laws of inheritance, where if a person says, this is my son, he's believed. Which one of them relates to the topic of our Perek regarding that his son could inherit him. The other one, which was the primary Chiddush of our Mishnah, is that therefore he's going to be exempting his wife from Yibum. Because if this wasn't his son, we don't have any other children, his wife would have to have Yibum, which is a marriage to his brother after he passes away. But by saying that this is his son, he's believed. So on that, the Gemara continues regarding the belief system that we have of a person to exempt his wife from Yibum, the following incident. There was a certain person that passed away, and as we learned in the previous daf regarding it, as the Sugi and Kedushin talks about, regarding if this is supported or contradicted by a chazaka, which is the presumption up until now, do we assume that she is required in Yibum? That is, if let's say we know that there were brothers that he had and no sons, or if there was no chazaka, which we don't know that it was a brother, or if there was a son. So there was a person that was dying, and he had brothers and no sons, which the presumption was that she's going to be obligated in Yibum. We know he has a brother, because if there's no brother, there's no Yibum, and we didn't know of any sons. Amrulay, and still they said to the dying person, it's a laman, his wife, meaning regarding you, the one who's passing away, who's she going to be to after you pass away? In other words, is she obligated in Yibum, as our presumption is, or is she actually permitted to marry another person after you pass away? So Amrulay, he said to the people, Chazi l'kahana rabba, she's even worthy of marrying the Kohen Gadol. Now, that's not precise, as Rashbam points out. What he meant to say was, she can marry whoever she wants to, and actually she doesn't have any bond that she has to release herself from my brother. In other words, there's no obligation for Yibum. But obviously, she's forbidden even to a regular Kohen, because as we're going to shortly see, the reason why the husband's belief to say that there's no obligation of Yibum is because he could just as easily say, that I divorced my wife. And we would believe him that she's not obligated in Yibum, because if he divorced her, it's only for a widow, not for a divorcee. So if the whole reason why we believe him to say that she's not obligated in Yibum is based on the fact that if she's divorced, then she's forbidden to a kohen. But what he was basically saying was, she's not obligated in Yibum. Even though the Chazak up until now was telling us that she is, because we didn't know of any sons, and we knew that she's married him, and that he has a brother. So Amar Rabba said, my neichishla, yeah, what should we be concerned regarding what this husband is saying to make her forbidden to marry any person she chooses after he dies? Because ha'amr av chiyah bar abba amr av yechanan, as we quote in the previous daf, ba'al sha'amr gerashdist ishti neman, the husband says that I divorced my wife, he's believed. So, here also, the same thing. What he's essentially saying when he says, yeah, she can marry whoever she wants to, essentially what he's saying is that I divorced my wife and therefore she's fit to marry whoever she wants to. Now, but again, as Rashbam points out, obviously she's going to be forbidden to marry a Kohen, because the only reason why we're exempting her from Yibum is with the claim that he could say that I divorced my wife. But a divorcee is forbidden to a Kohen because he's not claiming to exempt her from Yibum with the claim of that I have sons. Because actually, the presumption was regarding this person that he does not have sons. Now, if he doesn't claim that I have sons, to believe him, which he would be, based on the Migui, where, believe me that I'm saying that she's exempt from Yibum, that I have sons, because if I want, I could exempt her from Yibum by divorcing her to get. So, since he doesn't say that, he's just saying that, yeah, she can marry if she wants to, what he essentially is saying is that, because I divorced my wife, where there he's believed, because if he wants to, he could actually go ahead and divorce her. So if his claim is based on that I did divorce her, and believe me, because if I want, I could divorce her, so therefore she's forbidden to kain, but she could marry whoever she wants to. Now, Amalei Abaya, but Abaya asked on Rava, but Vaha, but we have a different teaching that we quote on the previous stuff from Rabbi Yechanan. He asked Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef on Rabbi Yechanan that said, Baal Shammai Gerashti Est Ishti Einer Neman. If a husband says, did I divorce my wife? He's not believed. So how can you let this guy, who we assume that she has to have Yibum, and he's saying, no, she can marry if she wants to, because we're assuming he's saying that I divorced her, but if we don't see him actually divorcing her, we quote from Rabbi Yechanan that said that he's not believed. So how can you go ahead and let her marry if she wants to? So Amalei Rav responded back to Abaya, but Velav mi l'shaninu, didn't we answer, as we quote in the previous daf, that said, we pointed out that there's a contradiction in Rabbi Yechanan's own teachings. One teaching in his name is saying that he is believed, one saying that he's not. And we answered, we said it's not a contradiction. Kan l'mafrei yev kan l'abo. When did he say that he's not believed? That's retroactive, whether you don't have the migui. It's only from here and on that you could say, well, believe me that I did, because if I want, I could do it right now. But that only works from here on. That doesn't work retroactively. The place where we said that he does agree that he's believed is l'haba, is from here on. So this case is from here on. He wants to just allow her after he passed away to get married to whoever he wants to, because if right now, when he's still alive, he could divorce her. So believe her when he said that he did divorce her. So we see that Rabbi Yechonon agrees to that. What are you asking me from this other teaching, Rabbi Yechonon, when we already explained the previous stuff, is going on l'mafreya? So that Abai responded and says, Vashinuye nekim belismich? What, we should take this answer that we gave in the Gemara in the previous daf and rely on it? Maybe, says Abaya, that actually it's a machlekes amiram in the opinion of Rabbi Yechonon. Yes, the Gemara gave the resolution, said it's not necessarily machlekes. You could resolve it, but it's not necessarily that way either. Could be that they do disagree in the opinion of Rabbi Yechonon, and maybe there is an opinion that holds that Rabbi Yechonon was saying that the husband not believed, even l'abba, even from here on, that because we don't say amigui. Why wouldn't we say amigui? What do you mean? Believe him that he said a divorce, because he could do it right now. It's not true, because they're indicating factors for us to say that he did not divorce her. Why? Because if he actually divorced her, then word would have been out in the street, as the Gemara says in Perkei Shasar Malah. No one heard anything about this guy divorcing. So it's like considered a mali l'shaker b'makim edim, which we don't believe a person. And therefore maybe Rabbi Yechonon in that opinion was actually saying that he's never believed. And therefore maybe we should not paskin so lightly and say that she's believed. We're talking about Isuri Deiraisa. So Amali Rava l'Rav Nassim Barami. So Rava said to Rav Nassim Barami, Chushla. Yeah, you got to be concerned for the way Abaya said it, and she's forbidden to marry whoever she wants to without first taking care of the Zika bond that she has with her brother-in-law. Now, Rashbam just points out, because originally that the words of Rava were l'may nechesh lo, for what should be concerned, so therefore here when he retracts and he says, you know, Abaya has a point, he says, okay, ikala mechesh, you know, chushla, you should be concerned from it. And which Rashbam says, from here we learn that if the husband says that I divorced my wife, he's actually not believed, because we have to be concerned that that opinion in Rabbi Yechonon was actually always the husband's not believed. Because if it was true that he had divorced, word would have been out, and therefore it's refuted, like almost like B'makim Edom. A similar type of a dialogue, the Gemara brings out, who da have a muhsiklan? There was a person that there was a presumption regarding him, the lesle achi. The presumption was that we didn't know of any brothers, which is a generic chazaka. In other words, we never had witnesses that said he's an only son, only child, just we always had assumed we never knew of any brothers. Additionally, we knew regarding this person that he does not have any sons. Now, the reason why this case is being described that there was a chazaka up until now that he has no brothers is because had there not been a chazaka that he did not have any brothers, we actually should make this his wife, after he passed away, forbidden to marry other people out of doubt, because since for sure there's no sons, and maybe he does have a brother, if we didn't know for sure, at least as a chazaka, that there's no brothers, we would have said maybe he has a brother, and the suffix deraisa, we would go l'chumra and say stringently. But it's talking about where the presumption was that he had no brothers. Moreover, the story was, v'amar b'shasmi, he said, d'les le'achi. As he was dying, he said, I want you guys to know, I don't have any brothers. So I know I'm dying without any children, but my wife can marry if she wants to, because I have no brothers. So Amar Rav Yosef, he said, my lechishla, so what should we be concerned in this situation? Chada, first of all, the muhsik lo and the les le'achim. The chazak already tells us that he has no brothers. So we have no reason to suspect and to assume that she can't marry whoever she wants to. But moreover, second point, ha'amar b'shas misa the les le, at the time of his death, he said clearly that he does not have any brothers. Which, even though he does not have any sons, but since he says I don't have any brothers, he's believed to permit her. Which actually, as Rashbam explains, even if there was a chazaka that he did have a brother, the second point Rav Yisrael is saying is, the husband would still be believed to permit her. Why? Even though it's going in contradiction to the chazaka, as we explained in the previous stuff. Because he has a migui. Since if he wanted to, he could exempt her from yibum with giving her a get right now, so he has what's called ma'al shaka. What should I lie for? As the Gemara said, where although that there's a chazaka that there's a brother, when he says zebani, when he says this is my son, he's believed to permit her, which we said that was the chiddush in our Mishnah more than the Mishnah Masechtas Kedushin. And this is based on the migui, because the migui could come and weaken that chazaka, which said, we think you have a brother. He said, no, I don't have any brothers. And he's believed, because if he wants to, he could just divorce her right now. That was what Rabbi Yosef said. So Amli Abaya, but Abaya asked Rabbi Yosef, and he said, but Amri, but the people of this city are saying, that there are witnesses overseas, that they know and they could testify that this guy has brothers. And therefore, says Abayit Rav Yisa, we should be concerned for what those witnesses have to say, and we should have to wait at least to hear what they say, because if it's really true what the townspeople are saying, that there are witnesses who can testify that he has a brother, then she's not allowed to marry someone else because she has that zika bond with that brother. So how could you go let this woman marry whoever she wants to, when although there's a chazaka, and even if he's testifying, but two witnesses would override that, and they're saying that there's witnesses, how could you let him marry? So on that, Rav Yisrael responded, but hashta mi asolesna hu kaman, says Rav Yisrael, yeah, but right now, those witnesses are not in front of us, and therefore we only go based on what we see. And as Rav Yisrael proved his point, says, lav hayna Reb Chanina, isn't this what Reb Chanina said? Which the Gemara Masechet Ksubas asked in Perek Ishish and Sarmala, there was an incident with the daughters of Shmuel who were taken in captivity. And then the captives, they were taken as captives up to Eretz Yisrael, and they quickly ran into the Bezdin before their captors had a chance to run in. And they, on their own, testified, I was taken in captivity, but I'm pure. Which that's called Pesha Asa, Pesha Hitter. If you were the one who said what's forbidden, then you could undo that, thus saying that I'm Tahar. And Reb Chanina said that they're permitted to marry into Kahanim, which if they were violated, they would be forbidden, but they're saying that they're Tahar. Now, that the Gemara there said, but wait a second, but there are witnesses overseas that could testify that they were defiled, and therefore, how could you permit them? Which the Amr Reb Chanina had said, that's not a problem. Eidim Bitzad Esten, we have witnesses in the north, Viteyasa, and they should be forbidden? Which the Gemara there explains is that it was told about witnesses that could say they were actually defiled, which would make them forbidden for Kahanim. So says Rav Yisrael, we see from Chanina's halacha that, yeah, maybe there are witnesses. And if they would ultimately come, we would have to reckon with them. But if they're not here, we should base our halacha based on them. Right now in front of us, we have a chazaka, we have what the husband's saying, that she's not obligated in Yibam, and therefore we could let her go ahead and marry other people. On that, Amle Abaya asked Rav Yisrael, wait a second. Im he kalna b'shavuy, according to Rav Chanina's halacha, that can't be regarding what we're discussing over here. If we were lenient regarding a woman taken in captivity, we're in general, as we find the Gemara Masechet Ksubas, the Chacham were pretty lenient with a woman taken in captivity. As we find, that even though generally we don't believe an individual witness or a woman for testimony, they're believed to say that the woman captive is Tahar, was not defiled. Now, the reason for that is because when she was secluded amongst the captors, for that reason alone, we should not make her forbidden, because generally, we assume a woman protects herself from having illicit relationships with other men. And therefore, we could establish her and provide her with her chazak, which up until now, we didn't know that she was ever defiled. So therefore, it's a very lenient issur regarding the ability of her being able to marry Kehanim, which they permitted. Which, as some girsas have there with Marshal and Rashbam take this out, where it's an interpretation of why they were lenient regarding a shvuya, because she makes herself disgusted as if she looks repulsive regarding her captor. So they say, ugh, I don't want to have relations with this woman. Well, which would be one interpretation saying why we were lenient regarding captive women. But either way, says Abaya, yeah, over there we were lenient, and that's where Reb Chanina said his logic, where, okay, we'll be lenient regarding these daughters of Shmuel, because even though this witness is over somewhere far, yeah, but they're not here right now. We're lenient regarding captive women. But says Abaye, Nekel be'eshes ish, so we'd be lenient regarding the laws of a married woman, where that's an isser of chenek, of the death penalty, which up until now, there's a cheskes isser, because we assume that she's a married woman. Now, out of doubt, you can't go ahead and permit her by assuming that there's no brothers, since Abaye says there are people who say that there are witnesses overseas who say that she's obligated in Yibum. There's a chazaka here that she's an Eishes Ish. So although there's a chazaka that there's no brothers, and he's saying, but we have to be suspect regarding the Issa Dairaisa of Eishes Ish, which is a pretty severe Isser, and say that we have to wait to hear what the witnesses have to say. You can't just go and compare it to Reb Chanina's halacha, which was told by Shmuah, which they Shmuya, we were very lenient, and to compare it to this halacha regarding a woman not doing Yibam and marrying some other person, which is a violation of an Issa Dereisa. So Amalei Rav L'Rav Nassim Bar Ami, he says, Chushla, you're right, you have to be concerned for what Abaye had said, and not let her get married without Chalitza. Because this is something which, and the Mefarshim explained this, that although there's no chenik over here, because it's not actually Eishes Ish, it's Eishes HaMesa Chutza, as the Bach discusses, but it's still something that is a stronger Isser, which up until now was chenik as an Eishes Ish, and we don't just lose that. And that says, Rabbi, you're right, you have to be concerned for that, and if there are witnesses possibly overseas, we have to wait till what they tell us, and not just let her marry some other person, which is different than Chanina's halacha by Shvuya, where, yeah, there we were lenient. Now the Gemara continues, explaining the halachas of our Mishnah, that said, Ze achi, if someone says, this is my brother, so ain't a neman. So he's not believed, which is, let's say their father passed away and there's brothers, and he says, this is a brother of ours. And they're like, what? Yeah, this is our brother. He's not believed to make that guy have to split the inheritance amongst the other brothers. They don't have to share their inheritance with that other person. Whereas he, the one who said he is his brother, has to share his portion at least of what is his portion of that other brother's inheritance and give it to him. Now, the Gemara asks, V'idach mai kamri, what are the other brothers saying? As the Gemara explains the question. I kamri achunahu, if they're saying that, yeah, he is our brother. And that's why we could understand the halacha of a mission that says, when nafaloy nechasim makam achar, that if that Safik brother, who now everyone's agreeing to what one of their brothers is saying that he's a brother, if he gets money from somewhere else when he's alive, and then he dies, said the Mishnah that older brothers inherit him, that would make sense, because everyone's agreeing that he is a brother. But then the question is, so then amai yitalimai b'chelkai, then why does the Mishnah say that that Safik brother only takes from their father's inheritance, only the brother who's saying that he's the brother, he takes with his portion, b'sulay, and not more than that, but why? He should be able to split with all the brothers because they're all agreeing that he's a brother. Ella, rather, what do you have to say? The ka'amri lav achinuhu. No, they're saying, no, he's not our brother. Who is he? You're saying he's our brother? No, he's not our brother. So you're saying he's a brother, you got to share your portion. We're not. But then name a seifa. Then look at the seifa of the Mishnah. It said, nafalo nechasim makam achar, if that Safik brother, who one of the brothers is claiming is a brother, others are saying that he's not, if he gets money from somewhere else, and then he passes away, so Yirshu Echavimai. So the Mishnah said that not only the one who claims is a brother is going to get from and inherit him, all the brothers are going to inherit that Safik brother with him. On that the question is, but they said he's not our brother. So their own admission, Haidar Spaldin, is saying that he's not their brother. How could they go ahead and split with that brother, that Safik brother's to inherit him, if they're admitting that he's not their brother? So the Gemara, Light Sricha, no, it's not talking about where they say he is or not a brother. It's the Ka'amri Ein on the Yaitin. It's where they say, we don't know. We don't know of him if he's our brother or not. So therefore, he doesn't take from them anything because they tell him, look, bring a proof. But also, when he passes away, they do inherit him because from the fact that their living brother, who admits to them that that guy who is the doubtful is their brother, so they say, we don't know. You're saying he's our brother? Fine. So if he dies, we'll take the inheritance with you. But for him to take from us, we don't know. So it's a mitzvah mechaveri, then he would have to bring the raya. But when he dies and you're saying he's our brother, so then they go ahead and they divide with him. Now, Amar Rava, Rava says, Zaysemeris, what we learn from this halacha of our Mishnah, is that mana li b'yatcha. If someone tells someone else, there's a mana, 100 zuz of mine that you have, v'halo oimer en yedei, and the defendant says, I don't know, Pater, the defendant is exempt. Now, this is a machlekes, it's brought many times in Shas, for example, in Baba Kama, Kofit Chesem and Aleph, where Rav Huna and Yehuda say that the defendant is chayiv, and Rav Nachman and Rav Yechon say that he's pater. Now, the halacha that we establish is that he's pater, because first of all, halacha is like Rav Yechon and Mechaveriv, and we pass like Rav Nachman regarding dinim, regarding monetary law. Now, it's just that the defendant has to make a Shavuos Heses, which rabbinic oath, that to swear that he actually doesn't know. Now, therefore, it says Rava, the same thing we see from our Mishnah, where we have one brother that's claiming for his doubtful brother, that he's saying to his other brothers that, hey, he is supposed to get from you what you guys are taking because he's another brother, you have to share with him too. And they're saying, like we just explained the Mishnah, we don't know. And what's the halacha of the Mishnah saying? That they're exempt. Why? Because we say, that we say we remain with the chazaka, whoever's holding on to it, he wants to prove, he has to prove it. And until he proves it, although he's saying with a definite claim, but they're saying we don't know, then the defendant's going to be pater. Which proves like those opinions. Abayam, he refutes the proof. He says, as a Ketim Tamad Beis, that lo'ayla meim l'cha chayv. Truthfully, you could even say like those other opinions that the defendant would be obligated if he says, I don't know, and the one other one who's claiming says, for sure, he would have to pay him the money. And the reason for that is as those on my room explained, is because Bari B'Shem and Bari Adif, a definite claim, and a maybe claim, the definite claim is better, even though the other one is the one that's mufsik in his money, he could go ahead and make him pay. But Vishani Hacha, the case of our Mishnah is different. Because in the case of our Mishnah, the doubtful brother himself doesn't know if he's a brother. He cannot make a definite claim and say, I am a brother, share with me. Rather, it's not a case of Bari Vishema, it's a case of Shema Vishema. He himself also doesn't know. That's why the Mishnah says that Ukim Imanam Cheskis Mori, that the brothers don't have to share with him, even though they're saying, we don't know that they're saying Shema. Because the case of a Mishnah is rather talking about where the brother is claiming for that suffix. He's saying, there's a mana for our brother in your hands. We're there, the kamana la'achar b'yadcha. I mean, that's like a case of that there's a mana for someone else in your hand. Oh, we're there, they tell him, lav bal devarm didanat. You're not our litigant. If you yourself were saying that we owe you money and we don't know, yeah, then we could say like those opinions that he'd be chayv. But that's not the case of our Mishnah. The one who's the claimant, he himself doesn't know. Someone else is saying for him, yes, they owe you money. And he's the one making the claim. For them, they could tell him, hey, look, the claimant doesn't know. You're saying you're not a litigant. And that's why, says Abaya, even those opinions could say that in the case of our Mishnah, although generally, Baruch Hashem, Bari Adiv, and he would be chayv, in this case, it's going to be Potter. Now, the Mishnah continued and said, the mace, in the situation where that doubtful brother passes away, Yachzru Nechasim L'mekayman. We said that since the one who's claiming he's the brother has to share from him their father's inheritance because he's admitting, so he has to share with him, when that brother passed away, then what he had taken from that one brother goes back to that one brother and doesn't get shared with all the other brothers, as we explained in the Mishnah, because they already have their share of that brother, which they claimed was never the brother, so now they could get it legitimately, but what he gave from his share, he gets back that brother. Now, regarding this halacha, Abaye Rava, Rava asked, Shvach sheshivchu nechasim me'aleihem mahu. What's the halacha regarding the increase of the properties that suffolk brother had taken from that one brother who admitted and gave him from his shir? What's the halacha now that he passed away? Where does that go back to? As the Gemara explains the question. B'shvach ha-megiyah le-kisfayim, regarding the increase that's already to be detached and carried on the shoulders. In other words, when this guy, this one brother, who claimed he's our brother, and he gave him a shear from his land to that doubtful brother, an empty piece of land. Now that suffolk brother was a hard worker. He put in all the effort, and he plowed, and he planted. And now, when he passes away, and it's ready to be returned to the brothers, it's filled with produce. That says the Gemara loyti bayalach. There you don't have the question where there for sure it's going to be divided that shvach that was increased, that it's going to be divided amongst all the brothers. Why? Because that can be compared to like as if he got properties from elsewhere. Because here you're not going to say Yachzur Nechasim Mekayim and it goes right back to where it was taken from. Because he didn't give him payers. He gave him an empty piece of land. So what he gave him, he takes back. But what was now almost unrelated, which are the payers that come from the land, but they're considered detached, that is like things that he got from elsewhere, where there the Mishnah said that since he admits to his brothers that he is our brother, and this is something that he didn't give him, it's going to be shared amongst all the brothers. Kiti Bayalach, when would you have the question, is b'shvach she'ina megiyah l'kisvayim. If the land that he gave him had increased, that's not ready to be detached and carried on the shoulders. Kagoyin, for example, dikla ba'alam. He gave him a palm tree, which now it got thicker, where it didn't change the name of what it was originally, it's still a tree, it just got thicker. Or Arava Aske Sirtan, or if he gave him land, which then it increased the sediment around it by itself, where he didn't fertilize it, he didn't put in the effort, it just got better now in value. My, what would that locha be over there? Would that be considered the same thing that he had given him, which therefore that's going to go back to that one brother? Or do we say, no, it's shvach, it's more than what he gave him, and that's going to be shared by all the brothers? And that says, Gemara, take it, let it stand. It's not clear what would be in that situation if it goes back to that one brother or it's shared by all the other brothers. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing the theme of the context of this parak of Yeshnoichlin regarding the laws of inheritance, talking about Mishameis. Someone that passes away, the Nimtzis Daitaki. And we find, and also regarding the topics of the previous Mishnah, is regarding if he wants to do not exactly like the biblical law of inheritance, he wants to specify what should be done with his properties when he passed away. So someone that dies, v'nim tzis daitiki, and you find a daitiki, which is a document that's written by the will of a dying person. As Igmar will explain, that's actually the word daitiki stands for dot tehei lamekim aliyas, that this is how it should be and continue after I die. They find this document, Keshura al Yerechai, tied onto his thigh. Now that's a chiddush. It's coming to add to the halacha, where even though you could say that it wouldn't make sense that someone else wrote it and that he put it there so that he should just merit in the dead person's assets, because they say, look at the document he wrote. We wouldn't assume that, because if it's tied onto his thigh, it makes a lot of sense that the dying person himself had written it and no one saw it because it was attached to his thigh. Even so, says the Mishnah, Harezu Einuklum. That document has no validity. And therefore, even if after this person dies, the one who was written to as a gift in that document takes possession of the document, he has not acquired those assets. Because although the halacha is that the commandment of a dying person does take effect as a kinyan, even after he dies, which generally doesn't work, you can't be makna something after the person dies, that is only when he makes an oral commandment. And that's a rabbinic injunction, because we don't want him to be in a tumultuous state in his last moments. So we say, although really according to the laws of kinyanim it shouldn't work, the rabbanan said it works. But the effect of a document is not as strong as his oral command. Now the reason for that is because he obviously wanted the kinyan to only work with the receipt of the document. Now, the problem is, a document does not work after a person's death. If he just said it, so that's where we say that he wanted it, that's going to take effect after he dies, which is not the case with a document. However, says the Mishnah, let's say Zikaba, let's say the dying person merits this document while he's still alive, La'achar, to somebody else, meaning, even though it wasn't even written, the names in that document was not written to the person that he's actually delivering it to. But he tells him, the properties that are written in this document, I want to give to you with the receipt of this document that you're getting from me while I'm still alive. So although it's written that this person should get all these assets and the name written there is Reuven, but he tells to Shimon, here, I want you to take this document and to be kind to it. That second person, let's call him Shimon, is going to acquire those assets. The reason for that is because it's not any less than the oral command of a dying person for what should happen, which that's even a bigger chiddush, where even though it was for a different person than who it was written to, says the Mishnah, bein min hayorshin, bein she'einim min hayorshin, whether that person that he's giving this document to while he's still alive, whether he's from those who should inherit or from those who are not going to inherit, Dvarav Kayamin, his words are going to be valid. Where although he's not fit to inherit this person, he's still going to acquire these assets after that person's death without a kinyan. And the reason for that is because the words of a dying person are as if they were written and given over and finalized, even though they really weren't. So although this wasn't finalized as a kinyan, because this document that he's giving him was not written to him, but he's saying, I want you to get this. So although it's not really working through the medium of a document, but it's not any less than if a person, even without a document, says, I want you to get these things, it's going to work. Here also, even though the document says someone else's name, but he says, I want you to get this, it's the same thing as Tzavos Shchivmera, which is going to take effect, and it's going to work for the person that he's telling right now, the Shimon, that it should take effect for. Now the Gemara quotes a Braisa that explains the halacha of our Mishnah. Says the Braisa, Taraban, Lina Braisa, Ezehi Daitiki, what is this document that we call a Daitiki, which is a gift of a shchimra of a dying person, which we said, again, depending on how it was done, if we found it on him, then it's not valid, but if he at least gave it to someone else while he was still alive, then that person who received it, although it wasn't a regular document because it was actually written to someone else, but the person will be able to collect with it after the dying person's death, even though it wasn't written that it should take effect from today. What is that? It's kol shekasa, but it's any document that is written in it. Da tehei lemekim valias. This should be to exist and continue to be after I die, which is really the word daitiki. Daitiki is da tehei kai lemekim valias. This should be something that should exist afterwards, even after I die. It should take effect, which is like no less than the tzava of a shchimera, which just like if he's saying it, same thing if he's writing it, that should take effect after his death. Now, says the Brayse of Ezi Matana, and what's considered a gift? Kol Shekasaba, whatever is written in it, Mehayoy Malachar Misa, that it should take effect from today, and then after I die, which the understanding of those words sound like, that the actual property is acquired to that recipient today, but what does it mean it's taking effect only after I die? Meaning the prayers, the fruits, the utility is only going to be after I die. Because in that case, if the words Mahayoyim weren't written, then actually the recipient would not acquire it because a gift cannot take effect after the person's death. Because a person cannot be makna to somebody else something in the previous time, something that at the time when he wanted to take effect wouldn't be able to, for that person to give it. Because after a person's death, how could he give it if he's already dead and buried in the ground? It could only take effect then, which is after he dies, if it already took effect on some level now, which is the actual property, and then the payris, which is going to take effect after he passed away. Now, on this qualification of the Braisa, the Gemara asks, wait a second. What? You're saying that if someone wants to give a document of a gift to somebody, it's only if he writes that it should take effect, but also only when after he passed away? What? But if he writes that it should take effect all of it from now, then it's not going to be valid as a matana? What do you mean? That's a kal v'chaymer. To the contrary, that if someone gives a full-fledged gift, everything, hakol bakol mikol kol right now, where he's giving the actual property and the produce from today, of course that should be matana. Why does the Braisa make it sound like it's only if he's doing part today and part after he dies? So I'm a baya. Baya says, this is what the Braisa is coming to qualify. It's a continuation of the first part of the Brice. It's not talking about any matana. It's saying, Ezehi matnas bari, what is, because a dying person, his gift is considered a daitaki, which has certain leniencies, which is it could take effect even after he passes away, because he's saying it now, which the divri shrivma is kiksub nukum misurun dami. And that says the Braisa, what is the gift of a healthy person? Shehi kematna shchiv mara, which will have the same halacha as a gift of a dying person. With halacha is the loikani, which we know by the gift of a dying person, the payris of what he's giving is elalachar misa, only takes effect after the person died, similar to the gift of the shchiv mara, which the whole kinyan is only after the person's death. Same thing asks the Braisa, what's considered a gift where that the payris will also only take effect after the person's death. And that's what the Braisa says, Kol shekasa ba mahayim al achamisa. If in that gift he wrote that, yes, I'm still going to live for many years, I want to be able to use the utility till the day that I die, but I want you to get it, but if it's only going to take effect after I die, you're not going to get it. So today and after I die, meaning today you get the actual property, you own it, so that's why it's taking effect now, but the pre will only be after I die. Now, that's going to be similar to the kinyan of a shchimera, where although it's really only taking effect after the death, where shchimera, it could totally take effect in that way, by the bari, it has to be at least mehayim. Now, whatever, and actually in one point says Rashbam, actually this matnas bari that we're describing is actually a little bit stronger than the matan of a shchimera, because whereas by the gift of a dying person, he could actually retract as long as he's still alive and give it to someone else, as the Gemara later on is going to quote the daitiki mevatelis daitiki, that if he first wrote it to someone and then he changed his mind, he could change his mind. In contrast, this matnas bari, which he's writing mahayim alachamisa, actually there he can't anymore sell the body of the property to anyone else as long as he's alive, only actually the payris, because that he has until the day that he dies. But that's what the Brice is coming to explain. And again, this qualifies Allah of our mission regarding what is this daitiki that we're mentioning, which if he just wrote it and he didn't give it, it's not going to be valid. But if he gave it, it's no less than the tzava of a shchimra. Now, relating to this halacha of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings that Yosef Rabbi Bar Rav Huna. Rabbi Rav Huna was sitting, b'chsadr de b'rav, in this type of porch of the house, the yeshiva of Rav, b'yosef akamim shmid Rabbi Yechanan. He's sitting and saying the following halacha in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. That says, shchiv mara sha'amar, a dying person that says, kisvu utnu mana. I want you to write and give this mana, which is like around, it's 100 zuz, I want you to give it from my property, l'ploini, to that person. Umeis, and then the shchiv mara dies before they had a chance to write and to give that document to the recipient of the gift. Says Rabbi Yechanan, in kesvim v'naisin, now no more could you write and you gift it to that person, that mana. Why? Because maybe the intention of the dying person was only that it should be acquired to that recipient, as he had said, to have it written in a document. Now, and he only wanted that the person should acquire it when he receives the document. Now the problem is, now that he's dead, the ein shtar lacha misa, and the document cannot take effect after the person's death. Now, this says Rashbam that Rabbi Yechanan was said as saying in the case of kisvu utnu, that he said write it and give it, is not necessarily, it's actually even if he says tnu v'kisvu, give it and write it, as the Gemara is going to prove later on, where it's not considered what's called meyapa es kaychai, that maybe that we wouldn't say in that case that no, he said give it, which is even without the document. And he's only saying kitzvu as a way of just proving the point that he has proof. And that says, Rashbam, no, that's even in that case, we don't know. Maybe he wanted it to be specifically with a document, and therefore it's not going to take effect. When the guy just says it, so then we say, okay, his words have as if they're written and given over already. But when he says, write it, then maybe he wanted it only to be with a document, and not with his tzava of shchiv mara, and the document cannot work after his death.
Amalhu Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar said to them that he's Darubar, that you should be careful with this. In other words, that this is the halacha, like Rabbi Yechanan had said. That it's true, that if he says Kisru Tanu, then you can't give that after the Shchimra's death. A different version, Rav Shizvi Amar, he says it the other way around. Rabbi Elazar Amar, Rabbi Elazar was the one who said the halacha. V'amalhu Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan said to those around, is Darubar, be careful with this halacha, because that's actually the halacha. Now, Amr of Nachma Yitzchak, he says, Kavoseit Rav Shizvi Mestab. It's logical, like the second version, that of Rav Shizvi, that is Rabbi Elazar that had said it, and Rabbi Yechanan was okaying it, and not the other way around. And he explains, because I Amr B'Shalem Rabbi Elazar Amr, if you say, like Rav Shizvi said, that it was Rabbi Elazar who said it, Itzchak Rabbi Yechanan Lasudi Aled, Rabbi Elazar. So, Rabbi Yechanan, the teacher, it was necessary for him to testify regarding the statement of his student, that people should trust him and know that that is actually the halacha. But Eliyamet Rabbi Yechanan Amar. But if you say like the first version that it was Rabbi Yechanan who said halacha, Itzach Rabbi Elazar Lasudi Aled Rabbi Yechanan Rabbi. So the student Rabbi Elazar had to come and testify for the teaching of what the teacher had said. What do you mean? As Rashbam a play on words, and as which is from a different context of halacha, Divrei Rava, Divrei Tama, Divrei Mishaimin. If you have the teacher saying something and the student saying something, who are we going to listen to? We don't need the student to support the teaching of the teacher. Vayid, moreover, says the Gemara, Tashma, I'll prove to you, Rabbi Elazar Amar, that it was Rabbi Elazar had said it. Why? The Shalach Ravin Mishmeid Rabbi Avo. Ravin had sent in the name of Rabbi Avo, have a yaidim you should know, Shashalach Rabbi Elazar L'Goyle Mishum Rabbeinu, that Rabbi Elazar is the one who sent the teaching in the name of our teacher Rav, this halacha, which again we see that it was Rabbi Elazar who said it. Shchiv Marash Sha'amar, Kisvu Utnu Mana L'Pleinu Meis. A dying person who said, write and give this mana. This $100, this 100 zuz to that person, and he dies before they get a chance to do it. Ein kaiser menaisen. We do not write and give it. Shema legamalak naisa el b'shar, because maybe he only wanted it to be acquired to that recipient with a document, vein shtar lachamisa, and the document cannot take effect after the death. And Rabbi Yechanan Amar, it was him who was affirming what Rabbi Elazar said. Tivdik says, well, you got to check into this. Now, what Rabbi Yechanan was saying was not coming to disagree with what Rabbi Elazar had said. Because as we said, that Rabbi Yechanan was testifying regarding what Rabbi Elazar had said, which was the version of Rav Shizvi, and saying that yes, be careful with this halacha, because that is the halacha. Rather, Rabbi Yechanan is coming to explain that you have to analyze and see how exactly was it that the dying person had commanded regarding the writing of this document. Because, as we'll see shortly, there are times when you do write and give it even after the Shchimra's death. As we'll see, there are cases of when the Shchimra just wanted to strengthen the power of the recipient of the gift, as the Gemara continues and says, "My tivdak." What did Rabbi Yechanan mean when he says you got to check into it? What I mean, isn't that the halacha? Meaning that you don't give it after he dies? So that says the Gemara, Ki Asra Abdimi Amar, and Abdimi came, he said two different halachas, which the second halacha is going to explain what Rabbi Yechanan meant when he says, you got to check how he said it. First halacha, he said, was Daitiki Mevatel's Daitiki, as we quoted this in passing before, that a Daitiki, which is when you have a dying person who wrote over all his assets to one person, which is, he's saying that this should take effect. Dotei Koi, he wants that even though he's going to die, this person should get it. But then he went and he wrote it, all his assets to someone else. So the halacha is, what Rabbi Dimi is quoting over here, is that the second person gets it and not the first. Why? Because the dying person could back out of the gift that he gave, as the Gemara will explain later on, the Perek Mishnah Meis, Naf Kof Mem Vav Mem Beis. So since he ultimately wrote it to the second person, he backed out of what he originally had said that he's going to give it to the first person. Now as Rashbam points out, this is specifically if he wrote it without actually being mezaka to that person. As the Gemara says later on in the Perek Mishnah Meis, that it's obvious when he wrote to one person and then he wrote to another person. Well, that's like the halacha that we're quoting over here, Rav Dimi, that the second dayatiki is mevatel the first dayatiki. But says the Gemara over there, but if he wrote and he was actually mezaka, he merited it to the first person, and then he wrote and merited it to the second person, that the Rav says that the first one already acquired it and that's already too late. But this is all regarding a shchiv mera, but regarding the gift of a healthy person, there the halacha is once he gives it, he can't back out, then the first person gets it and not the second person. So the first halacha Rav Dimi said was that daitiki, second daitiki could be mevatel, could void the first daitiki. And he said a second halacha, which will clarify what Rabbi Yechanan was saying with tibodik. Shchiv mera sha'amar kisvu tnu mana l'pleinu umeis, which is that halacha of Rabbi Elazar, dying person that says, write and give this mana to that person and he dies. So Rabbi Dimi actually qualifies, and that's what Rabbi Yechanan says you have to check. Rayin, we look. Im kemayapes kaychay, if it's like he's just strengthening the ability of the recipient, in other words, he just wants to support the recipient of the gift, that's why the dying person commands that they should write from a document, not that because he should only acquire it through the document, but rather that it should just be a testimony, a verification regarding that he had given him this gift, but not that the gift should be delayed with the intention that he should only acquire it with a document. If that's his intention, well then kaisven, then you will write and give it even after the person's death, because it's like a regular tzavah shchimra. This that he added on the element of a document was actually just to support him that it should be as a proof. Which the Gemara later on is going to explain, well, what is that case? How do we know if it's being miyapes kaychay and to know that we should write it? But either way, this was what Rabbi Yechanan was alluding to when he says tibadik, because it's not so clear b'lazis halacha that we don't give after the person's death. There are certain situations that you would. But v'mlav ain't kaysen. But if it's not as being miyapes kaychay, then we have to suspect that maybe it was only, like Rabbi Lazat said, in the name of Rav, to maybe give it only with a document, which doesn't work after the death, and then you're not going to be kaysen nason after the person's death. Now, Masav Rabbi Abba Bamamal. Rabbi Abba Bamamal asked from the following braisa on this halacha of Rabbi Lazat. The braisa says as follows, Bari sha'amar kisva v'tunuman l'plein yumeis. The same halacha, but not a dying person, a healthy person. A healthy person says, I want you to write and give this mana to that person. Now, before they got a chance to, this healthy person died. Says the braisa, in case of a nice, and then you don't write and give it. Now, ha shchimra, the inference is that that's only by a healthy person, where his ability to give is weak. We don't have any clauses that allows for it to take effect after the person's death. So therefore, it sounds like that's only by a bari, but hashchimra, but a dying person, sounds like kaisen v'naisen, that then you do write and you do give it even after his death, because just like we say regarding the command of a dying person, that even if he just made an oral command, his words are like written and given over, so it would sound like that just like over there, it's because we don't want him to be meturuf, to be bewildered at the time of his death, that I'm not going to be able to do what I need to get done. We say, don't worry, whatever you say is going to be done. So therefore, it sounds like from the Braisa that the same thing would apply to his document. That even when he writes a document for after his death, it's like as if it was written and given over when he was still alive. So that seems to contradict Rabbi Lazar's halacha, who said that when he says kisvu tenu, that you don't give it after his death. And that says the Gemara, who maisib love who mafarakler. Rabbi Abba Bamamal had asked the question, and he also gave the answer. And regarding this inference that he had asked from the Braisa, says the Gemara is b'meyapes kaychay. You're right. The inference of the Braisa is that by shchimra, you will be kaysen v'naysen even after his death, but that's like we, Rabbi Yechon, had qualified just before. That's only, as the Gemara will explain what case is that talking about, when he's meyapa the kayach. That is where, we said, yeah, he really wanted to take effect now, he was just saying the document to strengthen the recipient's ability. But still, that's what the Bryce was saying regarding a healthy person. Even if it would seem like he's doing it to be miyapa the kayach of the recipient, for example, like as if meriting what a shchimra does, when, as we'll see later on in the sugya, if he's saying that also write it and give it, even so, even though that's going to work, as we're going to explain regarding a shchimra, which is the case of miyapa's kaychay, but by a healthy person, you're not going to write and give it after his death. Because by a healthy person, since his words are not like written and given, because that's only a dispensation we make for a dying person, so therefore, he has to merit it to recipient with a document. Thus, if he's mentioning kisvu tenu, it must be that he does not want it to be concluded, except for it to be with a document, and since he died before the document was given, ye ain't shtar lachamisa, and therefore, even if he was miyapa de kayach, it doesn't make a difference, by a bari it's not going to take effect, it only could take effect by a shchimra, which if we knew it didn't want it with the document, it would take effect, so when we know that he's just doing it to make him better, it will take effect. So there was not a difficulty on Rebbe Elazar, which is again like how Rabbi Yechon had made this differentiation. So ask the Gemara, what is this case where, as we see from the Braisa, and we see how Rabbi Yechon had qualified Rabbi Elazar's halacha, that there are cases that you would give it, even though it says kisvu tenu, and we're not concerned that it was only wanted it to be with a shtar, he just wanted to make it better for the recipient. What case, how would we know that? So the Gemara continues at the top of Kof Lamed Vav, Med Aleph, Kedam Rav Chizda. Like Rav Chizda said, which just is brought later on, Perek Misha Meis, on Kof Nun Aleph from Abayz, where Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul says the following halacha. He says, a shchimra, a dying person that writes all his properties to a certain person, even if they were kind it from him, the halacha is, if he gets up, he suddenly doesn't die, so then he could back out.
Now, but the inference from that halacha sounds like, but if he does die, then the recipient of the gift acquires it, even though it was written as a kinyan in this gift of the Shechemer. It was actually written. That is, we don't say that maybe he didn't want it to be acquired only with a document, which ultimately the document was only given to that recipient after that he died. So on that, the Gemara asked over there on Shmuel, because Shmuel said, seems to contradict himself. He says, as we quoted, that the Matna Shechemera, which has in it written as a kinyan, says Shmuel, we don't know how to judge that. Because, as we said in our sugya, maybe he's not intending to be acquired except through the document, and that's why he's writing a document. And the document of a Shechemera does not acquire until after the person's death, because that's what he wants it to take effect. And a shtar doesn't work l'achar misa. So that's the Gemara's contradiction in Shmuel. Does it work if he writes it, which even after he dies, or does it not work? So that the Gemara answers over there, b'miyapes kaychai. In other words, this of Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel that makes it sound like that it will take effect after he dies, it's only if he gets up that it doesn't, even though it's written, is talking about when he just wants to make it better for the recipient. And therefore, the kinyan is not going to make it any worse from the fact that he wrote a document as a dying person, because he doesn't want it to be only with the document. He's only having the document written, so that should just be a proof. It should just make it better for the recipient. On that, the Gemara says over there, so what is this case of Miyapas Kaychai? So on that is what we're quoting and borrowing from there. Rav Chisda said that if he wrote in the document, the kanina mine, and that he should acquire from him, Maisif al-Matnasada, an addition to this gift. In other words, he's essentially writing that the kinyan that I'm doing that should be with a shtar is just an addition to make it better for him for what I'm already said orally that he should get it as Tzavash Chimra. So says the Gemara, Hachinami, that would be the same thing for explaining what we're saying over here in our halacha, the Amar, where he says, Af kisuva v'chasuma v'havule, also write and sign for him and give it to him, where there we see clearly that he's only doing it to be miyapas kaycha. He's not doing it that it should only work with the shtar. So therefore, really, he wants it to work through tzavash chimera, and therefore the guy will get it. Because even though he never got it to that person, that's a rabbinic dispensation for a dying person, a shchimera, it's like it was already done. So the person gets it, was done before the person died. Although he said a document, and the document's only taking effect after he dies, that's okay, because that was just as an addition, as insurance, just to be a proof for the guy, and therefore it's going to work. In contrast to Rav Elazar's halacha, when he doesn't say this, which proves miyapas kaychai, then we have to suspect maybe he wanted it only to be with the kinyan of the shtar, which cannot take effect after that he dies. Itmar, the Gemara says, it was said to Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel that the halacha is kaysvin v'naisnin, that you write it and you give it after the person dies. Again, in this case that we're talking about, a miyapas kaychai, like Rabbi Yechon had said, that he bought the gift to check, which, as we explained explicitly, that's the halacha of Shmuel, as the Gemara says later on in Perek Mishameis, is by miyapas kaychai. With miyapas kaychai, then it's clear that he doesn't want it to be with the document, it's just to make it better, and therefore he will get it as tavo shchimra. B'chinam rav, am rav nachman, halacha kaysvin v'naisnin, halacha is, again, in contrast, but not in contradiction to Rabbi Elazar's halacha, when it's clear that it's miyapas kaychai, then you do write and you do give that document and the acquisition of that thing, even after the dying person's death.